because I was just trying to measure up. And when we learn about the immeasurable power of a God that says, you can never measure up, but I have, and instead I'm going to lift you up to be with me. And there is power, friends, when we understand this power towards us to believe. Do not miss this. We can know the immeasurable power of God that is for us who believe. King David said it this way. Twice we read about his song that he sang it in 2 Samuel 22:20, and then the Psalms re-record this song in Psalm 18. And he says these words, speaking of the rescue. He brought me out to a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Can I let the word teach a little bit there and not just have to add to it? And will you own that phrase? He rescued me because he delighted in me. What's more powerful than that? We are a people in whom God delights. And when we believe in him and let him into our living or back into our living, we are people whom the powerful Almighty God dwells and delights. God's power is toward us because he delights in us. And if his delight in us isn't powerful in us, we also get the context of our eternal inheritance here. We who are undeserving of a relationship with God get to be treated like his royal children. In this Kansas City region, I keep seeing this hashtag, raised royal. It means something to you? How many of you are raised royal in this way? It's all right. Yeah. Royals fans, come on, this is your chance. Not this year, they suck, right? Hey, we're bandwagon people, come on. Yeah, get her done. If you're raised royal, get it up there. But I want to tell you, the power of God says we're all raised royal. Even those stinking Cardinal fans, right? On the other side of the creek. What? Wait, I'm not talking about high school. Middle school, because we are the Cards. I get it. Gotta love them all. In Christ, his power raises us to an eternal royalty as children of the King forever. When we believe in Jesus, we can know the hope and the immeasurable greatness of the power towards us who believe in what Jesus has already accomplished for us through his life, death, burial, and resurrection because God delights in us. Can I tell you, I needed that reminder this week when I wrote this sermon. It spoke to me. Let's continue in verses 20 to 23. Ephesians 1, verses 20 to 23. Paul is still praying here or writing about his prayer. He's just elaborating on this power. He exercised this power, God did, in Christ by raising him from the dead and seating him at his right hand in the heavens, far above every ruler and authority, power and dominion, and every title given. Not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he subjected everything under his feet and appointed him as the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all things in every way. And so the next thing we ask, if we know the power of God, do we know God's power source? Do we know God's power source? The greatest peace of the gospel is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Without the resurrection, death gets the final word in all of our lives. But with the resurrection, we have hope not only that our God lives, but that we who believe in him will spend eternity with him. The fulfillment of this hope is that Christ wasn't raised to die again. He was raised from death, and he was put on the eternal throne where he already reigns. We don't have to wonder when this will happen. It's already done. The power source of Jesus' resurrection is unparalleled when we come to understand that one resurrection resulted in the resurrection for all who believe. If you've been reading Romans, you just read that. Wouldn't it be cool if we repaired one house ripped to shreds by the tornado, and all of a sudden all the other houses were repaired? That'd be cool, right? In essence, that's what Jesus' resurrection does when we believe in it. Are you with me when we're talking about power and this power source? When we believe on his resurrection, it brings us to life. One life affects all life. In the same way, Romans goes on to tell us, in the same way this happened as the one sin of Adam and Eve affected all of creation in a negative way, so one righteous one, Jesus Christ, who raised from the dead, affects the life of all who believe. Powerful. Show me a greater power source than that, especially when we stop and reevaluate what life is. See, this God who spoke and created out of nothing into being everything that we're familiar with, he is the head over everyone who has put their faithful trust in him. He is a faithful leader to us, not putting us out to be consumed without purpose. We will receive persecution. We will be wounded. We might even be martyred for our faith, but it's never in vain when we're walking for Jesus Christ. I'm pumped for the next few weeks when we look at the text between this text that we've just completed and what Paul brings us back full circle to in chapter 3. We're going to teach the text in between the next couple weeks. But basically, Paul goes on in this void in between in great detail what it means for us to be brought from death to life in Christ. We're going to look at that intimately next week. And not just us, but everyone everywhere, Jews and Gentiles, and that we are all one in Christ. All of the division in our world that we see, it's not division of God. God doesn't want that division. He wanted unity in him because he is the head of it all and brings it all together. So next 2 weeks, very relevant, very important for our Christian faith. If you're wanting to know, how do I communicate the gospel with my lost friends after I love them and live with them next week? If you've got somebody that's on the fence or that's just questioning Christianity, what is it all about? Next week, the gospel, very clear. Okay, it's free. Bring your friends to church. They will hear the gospel. They do every week, I think, but it's going to be really clear next week when we look at the first half of chapter 2. Even so, let's go on and look at the text in chapter 3 as we get one more point out of God's power. The source of Jesus Christ, though, we can't miss that. That's the most important thing, the apex of our Christian faith. But in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul continues reminding them of his prayers in verses 14 to 21. This is what we read. For this reason, Paul says, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. I pray that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with what? With power in your inner being through his Spirit. We've already been sealed with that, correct? And that Christ may dwell in your hearts. Where's Christ going to be? Dwelling in our hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to, we get another one of these, to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and the width and the height and the depth of God's love. And to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. And so, friends, this is really the question that matters the most when we understand the first two. Do we know God's power dwells in us? See, our surface-level world wants to look pretty on the outside while corruption and sin rules on the inside. It's no wonder so many people, even in our financially blessed nation, feel hopeless. We have everything we need except for the most important thing, We need Jesus Christ and Him crucified more than we need everything else that we chase after. This truth, walk back with me, this truth had Paul on his knees. Did you catch that? What did he say in verse 14 of Ephesians 3? For this reason I kneel before the Father. Who's he before the Father on behalf of? He's praying for his church that he planted in Ephesus, a church that meant a lot to him. He sent Timothy there to raise up elders in that church because it needed good leadership. And he left him there because it also needed good pastoral care. This is a church that meant a lot to the Apostle Paul. Paul had prayed often for this congregation that looked very American when I read the letter. But do we know that God's power dwells in us? This is the second time Paul refers to how he's praying for the Ephesians. And again, his prayer is that they may come to understand, to know the power of Christ. And this time, he specifies it as the immeasurable nature of God's love for everyone. That we will somehow grasp its height. We can't measure its height. Its depth. We can't measure its depth. Its breadth. We can't measure it. And who is it for? It's for everyone. And then he reveals that this very source of love lives in us. Look at verses 20 and 21 again. We can't miss this. This is too big. Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. In other words, Paul is saying again, we cannot measure what God can do. But a lot of us had said, God can't do that. Haven't we? I'm not even going to invite them to church. God can't. He can't transform that life. I've got this addiction or this temptation in my life. I can't kick it, so I'm just going to choose to live with it. Right? I mean, I'm just going to go to the grave with it because, I mean, God can do a lot. He can't do that. After all, I've tried to fix it. I've never fully surrendered it to Him and got His partnership and the accountability of His people on board with this, but God can't do that. I'm not even going to engage it because God can't fix that problem. Last week I said I want to share something with you, the church, and I live in a glass house, so can I be vulnerable for a minute? One of the kids in our care right now, we're concerned, has an attachment disorder. Okay? And if you've studied it, the plan is reunification right now, so we don't want to let our hearts get there. But if these kids come up for adoption, we're going to say yes. If that's an option. Attachment's a big deal. And I said to my wife, can we say yes? Because I don't know if that can be fixed. Immediately on Caleb, a caller calls in talking about their child who has a learning disability that was graduating from college. Because of intervention and because of what God can do. And you know what I said? God can't do that. We're all a work in progress, right? And we do it to God. We say, oh, you can't do that. And then I read and study Ephesians and I say, yeah, He can. He can do it. Friends, God wants to do His work in and through us.
And that's, isn't that scary? I get scared every day. This week, I was scared because I opened my big mouth. This had Paul on his knees. It's why he left Timothy in Ephesus. It's why my family moved to Eudora in hopes of seeing more people come to understand the fulfillment of this mystery. Remember a year and a half ago when we studied the book of Colossians together? The key verse of Colossians 1:27, God wanted to make known among the Gentiles the glorious wealth of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Any of you still remember that verse? Powerful, isn't it? Did you catch that Paul brought this very same Paul who wrote to Colossians is reminding the Ephesians this same truth? This God who delights in us also dwells in us. And he wants to do his work in and through us. Do you know God's power? Do you know that God's power is towards us who believe? Do you know that his powerful source is Jesus Christ and him crucified, who restores our pitiful lives into perfect union with him, not because we're deserving, but because of his mercy and love that we can't measure? And do you know that he dwells, that this power dwells in us? Because God delights in us and he showed us how much so by putting on flesh and coming to earth to powerfully meet our most distinguished need, something that only God could do, and he did. And then this God who delights in us was willing to come in and take up residence in us, not so that he can become more like us, but that we would become more like him as we surrender more and more to his hope and to his love. And he powerfully cleanses us and molds us and shapes us into his royal children. And we have his powerful love ready to work in and through us. This is the kind of power that, friends, gets trusses built in hours rather than weeks. On Tuesday morning, I was on the property of the Beggs and I was overwhelmed. And I heard Austin speak of the little bit of repairs he was going to be planning to do on the inside to get his house moved in, and that he basically already had the plans ready for them. He says, but I got hundreds of dollars in tools that I had four outbuildings that are gone, and Austin's livelihood is a blue-collar worker. He uses his tools for his vocation, not to mention upkeeping his farm that now needs a lot of love. And so I said, well, what kind of building are we talking about here? And the conversation began with an 8x10 shed. And so I said, I'm going to call a buddy. And Josh Harger isn't here today. I hope he's sleeping. And I love that kid too. And I'm tired, so I get emotional when I'm tired. And so I apologize. I hate crying in front of people. But Josh wanted to kind of pass the buck at first because he said, Jeremiah, he says, we can get a kit of lumber here, but we can't get trusses. Because dummy me didn't know that in the construction world, trusses are a 3-week out deal. This is Tuesday of this week, friends. He says, if you can find a truss, we're good. We can do this. So I immediately searched and called all of the big boxes in the region. None have 12-foot trusses. They are all 3 weeks out from order. So I called the lumber yard in Tonganoxie, Kansas, and said, I've heard good things about you from my friend Bill. And do you have any 12-foot trusses? And same thing, you're 3 weeks out. And so I said, well, do you know anybody who would carry them? Anywhere that, again, I'm a dummy, right? I don't have any business. I am not a general contractor. I got to be one this week. God can't do that, right? This is where it gets exciting. This is still Tuesday morning. I'm not defeated yet because I don't know. He says, if you can get a general contractor to build you some, that would probably be the best bet. Well, Josh didn't have the time to build them, and Rob Paisley didn't have the time to build them, and John Fahler is working two jobs now. He didn't have to, and I didn't know any other carpenters that I felt like had the time or the ability, and so I just hung up the phone and I prayed again. And I didn't check my phone because I'm stupid. And that night I'm cooking hamburgers for my family after a long day. And I looked at my phone and I've got a missed call with a voicemail from that morning. 10 minutes after I called Hempel up in Tonganoxie, they called their trust guy and said, if you call me as soon as possible, we might get these in. And this is 8 hours later, 4 minutes till Hempel closes, and I called Hempel back and they were still there. And he asked me questions about the trusses, and I was like, I guess I don't even know what kind of trusses I need. 12-foot, 4-foot on center, that's all I know. What's the pitch? It's 3-2, bottom of the seventh, you know? I mean, fastball, high, you know, high and tight. I don't know. What's the pitch, you know? I mean, out of the yard. We're raised royal. I didn't know. I'm going to get the information you need. I'll call you back. And so I called Harger, and I got the information. And I called him back the next morning at 7:12. I was supposed to call him at 7. And that was a God thing. I'm up at 5:45 every day, and I hit snooze. I was so tired. And Robert Paisley called me. He said, did I wake you up? I said, I'm so glad you did. Because I needed trusses built. And actually, I think that was Thursday. So I think my timeline was a day off. This is Wednesday night that I finally got Hempel called back. Because it was Thursday morning. Because that's Thursday that the trusses were built. And they'd call me, said they got in contact with their truss guy, and he was going to put it into production that day. Carpenters, you know what I'm talking about, right? It's a miracle in the carpentry business to get trusses built within the week of a project. All because I said yes. All because I said, this is a need that needs to be met. Are you with me? Do you get the point today? Do we know God's power? Because sometimes as Christians, we think that we can just gentle breeze people into obedience and into love and into what it is to follow Jesus. And he wants his church to be an F5 plus tornado that is impacting its region for good. He doesn't want us just sprinkle the land with a little bit of Jesus and not step on any toes. He wants us to wash over them in a cleansing way that's loving as it is truthful, so that transformation can take place as relationships are restored with him, the impact more than a week and a day in this life, but up to forever. Because we and everyone who doesn't know him yet is one in whom God delights. And everyone who believes in him is one in whom he dwells. I don't even know what my bottom line is today. I'm sure it was good. Use the power of Christ in you. And I'll shut up. God wants to live in us. The band's going to come and we'll sing us out of here. I'm going to pray for us. But when Megan and I moved to Eudora to plant a church, it's not a new church. The body's been in existence since Jesus Christ rose from the grave. But we wanted a church that looks a lot like the Refuge Christian Church. We expect our impact to be big. Not because we're amazing, but because we're letting Jesus lead. But it won't happen if we don't do it together. And if we don't let God delight in us and dwell in us, so that his power can be used by us to impact this world for him. God, we thank you for your love. We're humbled by it, and by the fact that you want to dwell in us, that still seems crazy. But you're the God who can speak
and make things happen. You are the God who can put trusses into production that can change addictions or conditions. One who, as Paul said, can do more than we could ever ask you to do, or that we could even imagine that you could do. And so forgive us, God, for the times that we've put you in a box, times that we've said that you can't when you really wanted to. And we just give you the glory for not only what you've done and are doing, but for what you're going to continue to do, because we are yours, people in whom you delight and dwell. In Jesus we pray.